My name's Ellen Mundy. I'm a representative for the Ngarrigu people. The Mundy family originally comes from a little Aboriginal reserve called Delegate, and that was put aside for the Ngarrigu people. Before they were placed on the Delegate Aboriginal Reserve, they were living in a place called Currawong, which is in the Snowy Mountains, Kosciuszko National Park. And I've been doing research in my family history for about at least 20 years now, or probably at over 30 years. And my connection to the ACT area under the, you know, Native Title Act in common law, we have what we call core and contingent rights. Core rights mean that you have rights to your clan country, and contingent rights means you still have a say and a right within your language boundary, and your language boundary is classed as your tribe, your traditional area.
So the Ngarrigu people are quite separate to the Ngunnawal people and the Ngambri people. How does it all fit together?
Ngarrigu is what I just described, is actually the name of the language. So our language boundary is our tribe, which is bounded by rivers and ranges and sometimes birds. And our tribe's made up of moieties, which is eagle and crow. And that's been described by my great-grandfather, who describes the law and customs and totems of the Ngarrigu language boundary. Ngarrigu takes in the northern part, which is ACT area there. Where Ngunnawal come into it, because the Ngunnawal history doesn't really come about until as late as 1950, and it was from a non-Aboriginal man by the name of Lyle Gillespie, who used to be the mayor of ACT, who written a book called The Aborigines of the Canberra Region. And he mentions in there, I think, the Aborigines of this area may be called the Ngunnawal. I've heard that the Ngunnawal, the word Ngunnawal, has been corrupted or disrupted over the years. There was an Aboriginal man called Honorall from Yass. There's not really much history or evidence on Ngunnawal, because in Aboriginal culture, all Aboriginal tribes have, law and customs, and describes totems and moieties of their tribe. If you look at Ngunnawal, there is no law and custom. There's no moieties mentioned. So the history is pretty scattered and poor. There's not much information that says that Ngunnawal is actually classed as a tribe.
Because the Ngambri people say that Ngunnawal is a language rather than a tribe, but the Ngunnawal people said that they can date their history back to the 1820s here. So is there any way that you're all going to agree at any time?
I've been involved in my family history for over 20-something years. I don't really need to agree on anything, because I'm just interested in doing my history, which is part of my identity, which describes who I am, because the word Aboriginal is just an English, gibberish English word that describes a native from this country. But my identity is classed as Ngarrigu, so I don't really need to argue or disagree with anyone. So I'm just trotting along and telling my history and stuff, what I have been for a while, which I have a right to do, which is also part of my inheritance right. If anything, there's, like I said, there's not enough history on Ngunnawal. I'm willing to accept any Aboriginal groups in ACT, whether they're, because there is surrounding Aboriginal boundaries. There's Walgaloo, there's Wiradjuri, there's Gunungara, there's Walbanga, and none of them groups have been really accepted here in ACT. The ACT government's made an agreement with just one group called Ngunnawal. There has been several native title claims filed by the Ngunnawal people, and every one of them claims have failed. So I can't understand why the Chief Minister's made an agreement with just one group of people, when he should have made an agreement with all the surrounding groups. All I've been asking for is just recognition and acceptance from Ngarrigu, because if you look at the early history of Canberra, it is all Ngarrigu. Like I said, the Ngunnawal history comes about as late as 1950. But I'm willing to except, like I said, all Aboriginal groups, not just the group called Ngunnawal in ACT. So as a Ngarrigu representative, I'm willing to work with all surrounding groups. So I don't really have a disagreement or an argument with anyone, really. I'm just asking for recognition from the ACT government to accept the Ngarrigu.
Why is that recognition so important?
It's important because a lot of our history has, like I said, been used in ACT to dress up a group called Ngunnawal. And all the language that's been used here in ACT and heritage interpretations, such as signage and interpretations in the park, you know, if the ACT government is going to use all the Ngarrigu history and language, which has been provided by my great-grandfather, and a lot of it has come from the Howard Papers and from a book that's been written called The Native Tribes of Southeast Australia. And a lot of the history that's mentioned in there is actually Ngarrigu and Wolgalu. So a lot of the history here that's been used in ACT for heritage interpretation signage is actually Ngarrigu language.
Is it also about money? Is there anything to be gained by having that acknowledgement?
Well, I don't think money's really got anything to do with it. Like I said, I painted the signs in sign of protest for recognition of Ngarrigu, so money's got really nothing to do with it. It's a principle of it, and, you know, it's morally wrong to just deal with one group and not other groups. And the earliest history, like I said, is Ngarrigu. And the Ngarrigu people, the last Ngarrigu people were living in Currawong. The earliest explorer that mentions them, George Augusta Robertson, mentions in 1815 a young Aboriginal man by the name of Wellington was speaking the Ngarrigu language.
Do you agree that the name Canberra comes from Ngambri?
Canberra. No, it doesn't. Canberra is just an early Aboriginal word that actually means probably meeting place where all tribes came together here in ACT to meet. So it was like a neutral sort of area where tribes came probably to get ochre from the land for ceremonies and stuff to trade with other tribes. There would have been surrounding tribes like Walbanga, Gunungara, sometimes the Wiradjuri, Walgalu, the coastal, probably some of the coastal Yuin people. A lot of the Ngarrigu people, the last headmen were Yubai Malan, which is his Aboriginal name, and his name's Murray Jack. He was the Walgalu headman. And Old Mundy, who was my great-grandfather, is the headman of Ngarrigu. And they were the last lawmen down here that describes law and customs of them countries. And there was no Ngunnawal headmen or informant mentioned. And to accept something that you really don't know nothing about, which is quite a young history that you don't know nothing about, is disrespecting your own original history and your ancestors in a way.
Just to finish up, you've got children. What do you tell your little girl about her heritage? What's important for you to pass on to her?
She's 7 at the moment, so I still try and tell her as much as I can about Ngarrigu, you know, the names of the totems, the animals, the Aboriginal words. You know, I take her out sometimes when I go out to National Park and do site surveys with the heritage, and I explain to her about Aboriginal artefacts and what the site's about or something, or if it's whether it's a female site or a male site. So I try and involve her as much as I can in the culture, but with a 7-year-old, it's a bit hard.
Yeah.
So I try and, you know, tell her as much as I can, but the best way to do it is to take him in the bush and explain it, because it's much more peaceful. You haven't got so much distraction around you, so you've got more time to tell her, and they seem to listen more. So I try and teach her on my and times when I take her out in the bush, and that it's that's the best way to teach children and educate children about your culture.